It's all right.
I'd really just like to sort of carry on with the same sort of theme, really, but talk about something slightly different. And it's something we don't talk about very often, but it's something that is so important. And it's something that is mentioned over 100 times in the Bible. And, you know, if it's mentioned over 100 times in the Bible, I think we ought to pay attention to it. but we don't talk about it. You know, if I asked you, I mean, there would probably be more people here that will have heard this subject talked about. But I was in Holland a couple of weeks ago. I had a conference of 120 people. And I said, how many of you have ever heard anyone talk on this subject? And two people put their hands up. And that's normal. You know, wherever I go and ask that question, that's the same sort of reaction. But yet it's mentioned over 100 times in the Bible. And what I want to talk about is comfort. I don't even want to call comfort a topic. Because if we call it a topic, it sounds like it's something we experience and understand with our mind. But comfort is not something we understand with our mind. Comfort is something we experience in the depths of our heart. And it's an expression of love that really deals with the deep pain in our lives. You know, love, there's many different expressions of love, aren't there? You know, there's the love between a husband and wife, the love between a father and a mother and their children. There's the love between family. There's the love between friends. You know, there's many, many different expressions of love. And comfort is one of those expressions of love. But it's an expression of love that goes right into the depths of our heart. And it deals with those areas of pain that very often we've buried and we've pushed down because they're too painful to talk about or to touch. And, you know, the reason we don't talk about comfort is, I think, because we haven't experienced it. See, Paul says in Corinthians that we will comfort others with the comfort with which we ourselves have received. And if we haven't received comfort ourselves, then we cannot comfort other people. We can be sympathetic, we can be caring, we can be empathetic, but the only way we can truly comfort other people is when we ourselves have received comfort into our heart. And I just see this as being such an important thing for us to keep talking about and keep looking at and keep receiving. You know, I talked before coffee that we, you know, we live in love. You know, we receive love and we go on receiving love. And it's the same with comfort. We receive comfort and we go on receiving comfort. See, many of us, when we talk about comfort and when we start to receive comfort, we receive comfort for the past pain or the past events, don't we? You know, it's like stuff has happened and we need comforting for it. And very often what we're doing when we're receiving comfort is we're playing catch up for all the stuff that's happened. But I actually believe that we can get to the place where we live comforted. So instead of playing catch up, we begin to live out of the reservoir or the fullness of having been comforted. And that means that when we hit a situation or when we hit a circumstance, instead of running on empty, we run out of the fullness of the resources that are inside of us. And life is a lot easier that way. You know, and I say to people, you know, when we're talking about receiving comfort, very often people can look at their lives and they can identify something in their life that they need to be comforted for. You know, maybe the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, maybe just, you know, any sort of, you know, financial loss or losing friends or even losing a church or whatever, you know, that we can very easily identify these things that we need to be comforted for. And, you know, when we talk about receiving comfort, we can look back and we can say, oh yeah, I need comfort for that. But I encourage people that not only, you know, if they can't see anything that they need comfort for in the moment, is to still receive comfort so that they build up and we build up that reservoir of comfort inside of us that gives us that strength to live from. You know, that we're living from a comforted heart. We all like to be comfortable, don't we? You know, and comfortable obviously comes from comfort. You know, we like to be in that place where, you know, I've got my chair, you know, my favourite chair at home, which I sit on. No one else is allowed to sit on my chair. I mean, they do, but they have to get out when the dog knows his place. But, you know, the cat would always used to sit on my chair, but then the cat was, of course, the master, and I was the servant. But the dog knows his place. But, you know, we all have our comfortable places, don't we, where we like to be, where we know where, you know, I can just relax and be at home. And that's what our Father wants our hearts to be like. He wants them to be comforted and comfortable so that we can just breathe and just go, oh, yes. And I really believe that everybody here needs to be comforted. If you can't think of something in the immediate of something that's happened that you need comfort for, then you still need comfort to go and face tomorrow. So that you can live it out of that place of strength and well-being. See, the dictionary definition of comfort talks about quiet enjoyment and satisfaction. You know, and I kind of like that. You know, it's a relief from anxiety, relief from affliction, relief from distress, and a quiet satisfaction, a quiet enjoyment. And for me, that's a very good definition of what comfort is all about. It's to set our hearts free from the distress and the affliction and to bring us into a place of quiet satisfaction where we're just at rest. See, there's a particular phrase that people use, and I hate it. The people say, and you've probably had this said to you, you've got to get out of your comfort zone. Have people said that to you? It's good to get out of your comfort zone. That's a lie. It's absolute rubbish. I mean, I know what they mean, and I know what they're talking about, but my encouragement today is get into your comfort zone and stay there. You know, it really, really annoys me when people say, get out of your comfort zone. You can see that, can't you? I'm getting worked up about it. But, you know, it really annoys me when people say, you've got to get out of your comfort zone and you've got to get doing. That's what comes across, isn't it? You know, you've got to do something. And I think I'm doing plenty, thank you. You know, I don't need to do anything else, but I'm going to stay in my comfort zone. And you see, people say get out of your comfort zone because they don't understand what being comforted is all about. They don't understand what it is to have a comforted heart. And, you know, we don't talk about this. I don't know how many times in church you've heard people talk on comfort, but it will be very, very few. Because it's like that clashes so much with our standard view of we've got to be doing things and we've got to be working hard for God. I mean, God doesn't need our work. I mean, for goodness sake, you know. I mean, if you think God needs your hard work, there's no way you can even begin to meet the goal because he is God after all. You know, I mean, how much hard work do you have to do to please God? I don't know. I've given up trying to work out. Because it's not about trying to please him. It's understanding who we are in him. That we are in Christ and we are sons and daughters in Christ. Our sonship is the same as Jesus' sonship. And that is just such a life of rest compared to the life of striving that we so often entertain. See, comfort is, we need to be comforted for trauma and grief and loss. See, whenever we experience trauma, whenever we experience a loss, whenever we experience grief, it's like something can settle in our hearts. You know, that the pain of that is very, very real, isn't it? You know, and something settles inside of us and we know that we're carrying a weight around. And the way I see comfort is, it's like that weight is, it's like, you know, our heart is a container, and at the bottom of the container of our heart is this heavy weight of trauma or grief. And, you know, we actually get used to it being there. You know, and it becomes like a sort of a friend in a sort of funny sort of way. Because we're just used to this pain in our heart. It's become part of us. And we kind of think there's no other alternative. There's no way through it. This is just the way it is. And the way I see comfort is, it's like, you know, we've got this weight in the bottom of our heart. But comfort, as we ask the Father to comfort us, he pours his comforting love down the side of our container. So it goes down underneath that heavy weight and it gradually begins to lift it up. And, you know, how much comfort do we need? We need more comfort than the pain we've experienced. Because we need enough comfort to go right down underneath that pain and lift it up to the top of our container and then float it away. So that, you know, we don't want that weight floating in the comfort, but still in our heart. We want that weight taken right out of our hearts. So we need to receive more comfort than the pain or the trauma we've experienced. And we all experience pain, and we all experience loss, and we all experience grief in different ways. You know, obviously, you know, probably the most painful and the most pertinent one is when we lose a loved one. You know, when someone we're very, very close to, you know, dies. And it's like we feel that intensely. But we also feel lost, you know, when we lose our job, when friends move away, when we have financial difficulties, when our health suffers. You know, all of these things are losses and we experience them acutely. And they cause that trauma to settle in our hearts. And the only answer for that is to receive comfort. And each of us respond in a different way. You know, what may be traumatic for me might not be traumatic for Dave. What might be traumatic for Dave wouldn't bother me. And, you know, I think one of the problems we have is, you know, Dave, something happens to Dave that really, really affects him. And it's a trauma that's settled in his heart. And I come along and I say, Dave, you don't look so good. And he said, oh, Mark, my cat died. And I go, for goodness sake, Dave, it's only a blooming cat. You see, and I'm unable to help him. In fact, I make it worse for him. Because he feels bad and he thinks he shouldn't feel bad because it's only the cat. Well, let me tell you, when my cat died last year, I was bawling my eyes out. You know, when I was in the vet's room and the vet was giving the cat the injection to put him to sleep, and when I took him home to bury him in the back garden, the tears were just falling down my face. Because he was my friend. You know, he'd been with us 11 years. And, you know, you can say, oh, Mark, get over it, and that's fine. But it was, for me, it was a real pain, you know. And I sat at the end of the garden, having done the deed, and I just said, oh, Father, will you comfort me? You know, and I know he did. You see, we all respond differently. We all react differently. And what is painful for one of us is not painful for someone else. And I think, you know, what we have done so much damage and harm to other people because we've not empathized or we've not understood the pain that they are going through. Because we don't know what comfort is. See, when I'm comforted for my cat dying, I'm much more able to be a comfort to Dave when his car's broken down. See, that might be a real trauma for him. It might not bother me, I just phone the RAC or whatever, but he likes to get under the bonnet and play with it or whatever. You know, but if we've received comfort for whatever we need to receive comfort for, we're much more able to comfort others with whatever they're going through. And we kind of have this scale, and we think, oh, that's a big thing and that's a little thing. But actually for somebody else, what is a little thing could be a big thing. And we need to receive comfort. And I think one of the reasons we've not received comfort is because we've been taught that, oh, it's only a little thing, get over it. You know, buck up. You know, get a life, you know, for goodness sake, you know. And we feel like we shouldn't be in pain because, oh, it's nothing. Well, actually, to us, it is something. And, you know, we need to bring those things, those areas of pain in our heart to the Father and say, Father, will you comfort me? Will you comfort me? And I believe even now as I'm talking, you will be identifying things in your heart that you know you need comfort for. And at the end of this session, there's just going to be a few of us who will just be offering to pray for you, just for you to receive comfort. So as we just, you know, go through this session, just ask the Father, say, Father, what do I need comfort for? And whatever he shows you, it will be real to you. It will be important to you. And he wants to comfort you for that. See, comfort takes that trauma, that pain, that grief away. You know, one of the Beatitudes is, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And all of us mourn, all of us grieve for different things. And each one of those things is so important to us. But yet the Father just wants to come and comfort us. Not just a little bit of comfort, but he wants enough comfort to fill our heart to take away the weight that has settled inside of us. And he wants to just wash it right away so that we're free of it. See, comfort sets us free. And I just think this is such an important area because it's been so lacking in our hearts. See, I really want and I really believe the church can be a comfortable place for people to come to. And that, you know, people can come to us because they know they will receive comfort. And they know, you see, comfort is welcoming. It's like, you know, people want to know they belong, they're welcomed and that they're accepted and not rejected and not sort of pushed away because of the pain that is in their hearts. And you know, as we are comforted ourselves, so we begin to comfort, to be able to comfort other people. Comfort is just so vital. It's that expression of love that really transforms the barren, broken places. Yeah, I just want to look at a few verses in Isaiah. See, in Isaiah, there's a number of passages where, particularly from the last half of the book, you know, there's a lot of passages about comfort. You know, we think Isaiah is this great prophet who is prophesying doom and destruction on Israel for all their sin and da-di-da-di-da. But there's loads and loads of passages where Isaiah is prophesying about God's people being comforted. And it's like, he say, Isaiah 40 says, comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord. You know, your heart's service has been dealt with. Your iniquity has been taken away. And you will receive a double portion from the Lord. And it's like, you know, when we're comforted, we come into that wide open space of freedom. And it's in Isaiah, it's in Isaiah 51 The beginning of Isaiah, in verse 3 of Isaiah 51, he writes, "The Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and her wilderness he will make like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of a melody." See, that's the fruit of being comforted. When we are comforted, when we receive comfort, the barren places of our heart are transformed into a beautiful garden. You know, the desert becomes like the Garden of Eden. Instead of mourning, instead of sorrow and sadness, there is thanksgiving and the sound of singing. And it's all as a result of being comforted. And when we are comforted, the result of living comforted, the result of being comforted is that our hearts are transformed. Now, you know, again, we're all on this journey. And we know that parts of our heart have been healed. You know, we know that areas we've received, you know, the Father's healing, and we know we're free. But we probably also know, if we're honest, that there are other areas of our heart that are still a bit like the desert and a bit in need of something. You know, it's not black and white, like, you know, it's all desert and then it suddenly all becomes beautiful. I wish it did. But it's this process of transformation where, you know, we gradually allow the Father to work in our hearts, and area by area, bit by bit, our heart is comforted. And then we get to the place of, we know that we're living out of that reservoir of comfort. But every time we receive comfort for an area of pain, it transforms that brokenness into a beautiful garden. It transforms what is ugly into something that is beautiful. And this is the process. This is the process. I was in one of the schools in Uganda over the summer, and we were talking about comfort. I was talking about comfort. And at the end, I just said, "Father, what do I need to receive comfort for?" And in that moment, he just showed me an area of my heart that needed to be comforted. You know, and I just brought it to him and I said, "Okay, here I am. Do it." You know, and I just want to encourage you, just over the next few moments, to keep asking him, saying, "Father, what do you want to comfort in my heart today? Where do you want to pour that comfort in?" Because it will bring freedom to our hearts. And, you know, we see here in Isaiah, and there's many passages that we can look at in those chapters in Isaiah where comfort is proclaimed, and straight after comfort is this beautiful picture of freedom and the barrenness being transformed into something so beautiful. A little bit later in Isaiah 51, in verse 11, we read this. It says, "The redeemed of the Lord will return and come with joyful singing to Zion. Everlasting joy will be on their heads. They will obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." That's, to me, I see that as the consequence of comfort. That when we are comforted, when the barren places of our heart are transformed, when we allow our hearts just to be transformed by this amazing expression of love, the consequence of that is that our hearts are brought home. You know, the redeemed of the Lord will return. They will come with singing. You know, and it's like somehow we're enabled to do something that we weren't able to do before. When the weight of the pain is lifted out of our heart, our heart can come home. Our heart can come home. See, and again, you know, I just see this as a process. You know, I know when I went to Toronto in 2002 that One of the most important things that the Father did in my heart was he healed my heart for my dad dying when I was a 10-year-old boy. And I know that's done. You know, when that happened, I knew it was done. But, you know, a couple of years ago, there was just an, you know, I've heard the Father say, he said, Father, there's another, not Father, the Father said to me, Mark, there's another area of your heart that needs to come home. And I'm not allowed to mention the words because Godfrey's here. But it has to do with going to school. No, because I was sent to, you know, 2 years ago, the Father said to me, Mark, you need to bring your heart home for your experiences at boarding school. And I did. You see, and you know, as he comforted me for that, I knew my heart came home. See, my heart was comforted for losing my dad in 20 minutes in Toronto. This young guy of 18 years old put his arms around me and just held me for 20 minutes. And I knew it happened. It was like complete healing. When the Father spoke to me about my boarding school, it took 2 years to work through that process. And it was only really earlier this year that I felt like, oh, I'm through it. So much so that I nearly went back there for the old boys' reunion in the summer. I've been away a lot and I've been travelling and I could have gone, but I just thought, no, I'd rather be at home. But I know the date next year and I put the date in my diary. See, I haven't been back to my boarding school for 40 years. Next year, it will be 40 years since I left school. And I've been back once. I preached in chapel, which was an experience. But I haven't been back since, and I haven't wanted to go back. But now I feel I want to go back. I feel I can go back. I feel I want to go back. See, that process of my heart being comforted for that experience took 2 years to work through. But I kind of feel like it's okay now. And, you know, that's what I see with comfort. When we are comforted, when we allow our hearts to be comforted, it can come home. Our heart can come home. And the Father wants our hearts to come home. He wants to throw his arms around us and say, you belong. Welcome home. And for me, it's like, this is the point of being comforted. This is what comfort is all about. It's to heal our hearts and to bring them home. Because while we've got that weight in our heart, you know, that bit of our heart can't come home. You know, other bits of our heart come home, but this little bit with this weight in, it's stuck. But as we allow ourselves to be comforted, as we allow the Father to pour that expression of his love deep into our hearts, it eventually, you know, as the more comfort we receive, it allows that weight to float up and float away. And then our hearts are free. And then that bit of our heart comes home. And that really is, I believe, the Father's desire for us, is to bring all of our heart home. See, you know, I was so, for me in 2002, when, you know, when my heart was healed from, you know, losing my dad, I felt so much freedom. You know, it felt good. And I knew that bit of my heart had come. And I thought that was it. You know, I thought I was all sorted, because that was the big event in my life, you know? And suddenly you then realize there's a few other events in your life that you need to be comforted for. And that little bit of your heart needs to come home. You know, that was, you know, losing my dad, that was a huge part of my heart. You know, maybe losing my cat was a smaller part, but it still needed to come home. You know, going to boarding school was a big part. You know, and there's all these different, you know, things that we can see and we can feel in our heart. But as we bring them to Father and say, Father, you know, you know the pain I feel. You know what caused it. But Father, will you comfort me? For every loss, every trauma, every grief, would you comfort me? Would you pour your comforting love into my heart? Because it sets us free, it makes us whole. And, you know, you know that bit of your heart has come home. And Father wants every bit of our heart to come home. He wants us to give him every grief, every trauma, every pain. Maybe for some of us, it's too much to give it him all in one go. And that's okay. That's fine. He understands that. Yeah, all he's asking you to do today is bring the thing to him that he's just put his finger on. You might be saying, well, yeah, I get that bit, God, but what about this, this, and this, and this? And he said, that's okay. We'll deal with that tomorrow. Today, it's this. You know, all he's asking us to do is bring that little bit of our heart to him and say, Father, this is what you're putting your finger on. Will you comfort me? Will you pour your comfort into my heart? Because that will set us free. See, we've looked at Isaiah 51. It's also Isaiah 35. The desert and the wilderness will be glad. Araba will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will blossom profusely. Rejoice with rejoicing and sound of joy. You know, it's another passage that goes on to it's another comforting passage that goes on to speak about us coming home. You know, a highway will be there, the way of holiness. The redeemed will walk there, the ransomed of the Lord, and they will come with joy to Zion. And everlasting gladness will be on their head. See, when you read Isaiah 35, it's a very comforting passage. And it leads to this great celebration of freedom. And, you know, that's a prophetic passage about many things, but I believe these are prophetic passages about our heart. Because the Isaiah is taking this from the Father's heart and saying, I want to comfort you. I want to pour my comfort into your heart. I want to bring you healing and freedom. I want to bring you home. See, when our hearts come home, it's a tremendous thing. You know, I know many of you, I know many of your stories, and I know the stories the experiences you've had of that homecoming in your heart. And you kind of, you know, what I hear is like, oh, I'm so glad that happened. It was painful to go through, but I am so free. You're free, aren't you, Jana? Yeah. See, I know a bit of her story. Yeah. And it's wonderful, you know, just to see that heart coming home. But that's the experience for all of us. And, you know, I want us to get to the place and I want us to get to the stage where we can just sort of come to a time like this and we say, Father, what do you want to comfort me for today? And he says, well, actually nothing. And you say, well, will you comfort me anyway? Because what that does is that builds up this surplus of comfort in our hearts. Because we don't know what's going to happen to tomorrow, do we? We don't know what's going to happen next week. And we might go into situations next week where the overflow of comfort that is inside of us is exactly what we need. So in a few moments when we just have this time just to pray for you, you know, if you can't think of anything, that's absolutely fine. That doesn't matter, but just come and receive comfort anyway so that it gives you this inner strength to live a comforted life. See, I believe if we live out of a surplus of comfort, we will know what it is to be comfortable. And we will know what true contentment really is. Most people I meet are not content. You know, and it's probably your experience as well. When you know when you meet people, you can feel like there is this frustration in them. You can feel like, you know, whoa, you know, slow down. You can feel like this energy, and you know it's not coming from a place of peace. And many, many people are not content. We're probably not content. But I know as we receive comfort and as we begin to live comforted, as we become comfortable, I believe we become content. And contentment is a gift. It's, you know, it's so lacking in this world, isn't it? You know, I sit in my office, I have my clients coming and to see me, and you know, they're so there's something inside of them, you know, they're, I mean, everybody wants their business to do well. Of course they do. But it's like there's something, I feel like, oh, you know, sometimes I have a client coming in to talk about their accounts and their tax and their business. And when they go away, I'm exhausted. You know, I kind of, whew, you know, what happened? And I just go for a walk around the office or out into the street, and it's like, whew, you know, I feel like that stress has come onto me. And I thought, oh, I don't want that, you know, you can keep that. You know, I want to be content. I want to be at peace. You know, I don't mind being busy, but inside I want to be content. And I would rather my contentment washed off onto other people than their stress washed off onto me. So what we're going to just do for a few moments is we'll just put some music on. There's going to be a few people just out the front here. And all we're going to do is just ask you if we can put our arms around you and just pray a very short and simple prayer, which is, Father, will you pour your comfort into your son or your daughter's heart right now? Will you pour all the comfort you know they need right now? Will you pour that into their hearts? And it's just going to be a very short time, but then just go and sit back in your chair and just go on receiving. You might want to lie on the floor, or if someone gets out of one of the comfy chairs at the back, you might want to go and grab it. Or not. But, you know, just be comfortable. We got 10 or 15 minutes before lunch. But just receive something, and then just find a comfortable place where you can go on receiving. So Godfrey, Dave, Dina, Sue, Lynn, you want to come join you? Does Dina want to come? Or is she busy? Do you want to come? So you can come to any one of these guys. They're all great and wonderful. Even Godfrey. Especially Godfrey. We love Godfrey.
What can I say?
Nothing.